Good morning and welcome. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. So thank you for coming this morning. My name's Anne-Marie Kaufman. If we haven't met yet, I'm here on staff and oversee the faith formation programs, which includes preparation for First Reconciliation and First Eucharist. And hopefully parking wasn't too challenging. I know that switch over between Mass, but we do have visitation. You just have to plan ahead so you can take the walk down to get here. So just to let you know, I'm just going to do an opening prayer, short opening prayer, and then our pastor, Father Kevin Gillespie, will talk about the Sacrament of Reconciliation, and then Catherine Heinhold, our pastoral associate for Ignatian Spirituality and Prayer, will lead us through a reflection on the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And just so as parents, we can really be aware that God has graced us and gifted us and given us what we need to be able to help our children understand this sacrament, really God, and help them grow in their faith. So we're hoping this morning will just help you enter into that and understand it a little more fully. All right. So to begin in prayer, just take a deep breath. If it was a little anxious getting here, let that go. If it was a joyful, blissful morning, give thanks to God. And so we'll just take a moment and know that God is here in our presence. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving God, you are the giver of all we possess. The source of all our blessings, we thank and praise you. Thank you for the gift of our children. Help us to set boundaries for them, and yet encourage them to explore. Give us the strength and courage to treat each day as a fresh start. May our children come to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. May your Holy Spirit help them to grow in faith, hope, and love, so they may know peace, truth, and goodness. May their ears hear your voice. May their eyes see your presence in all things. May their lips proclaim your word. May their hearts be your dwelling place. May their hands do works of charity. May their feet walk in the way of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Amen. All right, and so now I invite Father Kevin Gillespie, our pastor. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. It is an honor to be here with you as parents at an important time of your life, the life of your child. What I'm going to be doing is a quick overview of both the psychology and the theology of the sacrament. I'm not going to sort of go into the how-to. That's something I would hope your teachers or some of the basics. But give you a sense of what's going on. What's going on is an encounter with the sacred, with the holy. And many years ago when I studied theology, the sacraments, the book was titled Doors of the Sacred by an author named Martos. And that sort of is a great metaphor. When you recall the baptism of your son or daughter, you walked into a space that was sacred. You held that child, and the priest baptized the child with you, the parents and the godparents, and began the journey, a lifelong journey, really saying this is a journey that does not end in death. It is an eternal journey. And they really embrace a sense of belonging, and it becomes sacred when the child understands this and has a growing developmental way of forming the faith, a consciousness. And that's what I sort of see this sacrament of reconciliation as doing, as moving towards the next sacramental door. Anne-Marie? So remember, there's the seven sacraments. You have the baptism, the Eucharist, and confirmation are the rite of confirmation, the sacraments of, it should be initiation, okay? There was a misprint. So baptism, Eucharist, confirmation are initiating the child. The sacrament that the child's about to receive with the reconciliation is also connected to the sacrament of the sick, sacrament of healing. Sacrament of the sick is no longer the last rites or extreme unction. It can be that, but it can be something more around healing. I was just speaking with one of the parishioners whose wife is at home, very frail, had been in the hospital, and I said, would you want the sacrament of the sick? And then the marriage and ordination. the sense of the sacraments of vocation. And single life is also a vocation call and journey. So here we are with the child has received baptism, has not received the Eucharist. In between is the sacrament of reconciliation. Emery, next one. But then we have a number of names for it. Confession, reconciliation, penance, forgiveness, and conversion. All of these are interrelated. But actually, what's going on is conversion. A real sense of a movement of not converting from one faith, but a change. When Jesus, here's an image. When Jesus called Peter and John and the early disciples, he turned. He says, come see where I live. That's in John's gospel, that sense of metanoia, the movement around following Christ. When he rose from the dead and he saw Mary Magdalene, he turned and she saw not a gardener, but her beloved Christ. So there's a movement of a strong image throughout Christian scriptures of the power of metanoia. If you will, the sacrament of reconciliation is that. When your child will walk through literally a door, the confessional door, is walking into something. The child's nervous, and what we try to do is just, and with my colleagues, make it very simple. One of the things, Anne-Marie, will you have the coloring books again, Anne-Marie?
Yes.
So what I like to do is for their penance, I said, do you like to color? Yes. Well, we're giving them a book, and there's a list of saints. And sort of at their level, I invite them to color the Blessed Mother or St. John or some image that they have. They're associated with a discipline, not this kind of discipline, but a formative discipline of drawing closer to Christ. And I believe that art in a little form of coloring is a good way, or music. It's often the arts that give us a sense of what's going on into our souls. And in a certain way, we're doing that with the child. Now, next one. So here's where I'm giving some of my own little spiel. Some years ago, I wrote a book, Psychology in American Catholicism, From Confession to Therapy. Notice the question mark. And what we were doing is there's a whole movement, having been trained in psychotherapy. People who used to might come to confession are going to therapy. Well, they're distinct disciplines. You can do both. But there's sort of a loss of what is confession, where can it be meaningful? And so with a child, it's one formative level. At an adult, when I see my confessor, he begins with, tell me what are you grateful for, not guilty about, grateful for. And it's in that sense of gratitude that I get a sense of how much I'm disappointing. Someone said, have a sense of disappointing your beloved. That's at the heart of the sacrament. It's not a laundry list. It's something deeper. And so with children, I would often begin, tell me what you're grateful for. And then how are your relationships? But what we're looking at is, I call a sense of self. You know, that's the psychological round. We're looking at around consciousness and emotions. How is the child growing in conscience and studies and so forth? And awareness, and awareness of feelings, is very much part of the sense of self. Whereas the sense of soul embodies that, but it's also how beliefs, we believe, what are we talking about, a soul? It's sort of a self, not just in this life, but the next. A transcendent self might be another way of looking at the soul. That sense of God's transcendent presence in our consciousness, in ourself, that's something beyond that. And so I like to say, what are those beliefs and the sense of belonging that helps from the beginning onward, from baptism onward, to the doors of the sacred of God's presence? The sense of sin, now, it's that sense of conscience. As the child grows and knows right and wrong, and has that sense, yes, there's a sense of guilt, but we're looking at a healthy sense of guilt that I also sense. Often it's being ungrateful. It's ingratitude. That I'd like to say, we look at guilt from the lens of gratitude for life and what we're given. And within that lens, how have we disappointed one another? And that's where this, I like to suggest, a healthy sense of guilt is forming the conscience. The sense of secular, As the child develops, there are questions, the human quest that all of us are on that journey, and we're engaged in it, the secular world that we need to be, or where we work and where we play, where we our consciousness is that sense of the secular. But there's also the sense of the sacred. And that's where the awe and wonder. And one of the ways one of the theologians put it this way, notice the word question. You break it up in the first few words, it's a quest. It's our human quest that your child's questions are revealing his or her ongoing quest. Now, where it gets sacred is awareness of God is requesting. Notice God is inviting the child to grow, often on wonder, beauty. I just gave a homily to the children on the Sermon on the Mount, and we were going through different ways of remembering the eight Beatitudes, and we were asking questions, and the child, you're probably a seven-year-old, what a child does, notice something, a balloon, pointed to a balloon, just observation, and was a sense of awe and wonder, which was wonderful. The child is observing something and wasn't here to the questions which we were studying. No, something above. And and then another girl noticed another balloon. It was like they were observing. That's an example of looking up in awe and wonder, looking up at the sky or wondering about that. And that is the grounds, if you will, of questionings of the sacred. And I like to suggest that's God's requesting the child, inviting. As the child moves further into adolescence, those questions are going to be more pertinent to that stage. But at the seven-year-old, it's playful. But sometimes they're very serious. I remember a colleague told me her six-year-old was really questioning about death. Maybe a puppy died or something. Well, that's a great time to bring in the sense of the sacred. What are those ways of wondering and awe, the awe of the beautiful in the positive way, but the awe of wondering and sometimes the darkness of life and stress? So there are the ways of, I like to suggest, developmentally, a sense of self, a sense of soul. The sin, this reconciliation, is a way of looking at the formation of the conscience. And that is both has a secular world, but often the sacred. Now, the challenge comes is when the sacred, where the secular deprives the sacred of space and time. We're so caught up in the secular world and our work and what's on the media that we lose that spontaneous sense of look at that or observe that. Often the child is more grounded in that and has less stress around that memory. So when we're looking at the examine of conscience, two basically, our relationship with God and a relationship with others. And so what are those ways in looking at? Often is how does a person respond to God in prayer, faith, community? Developing a sense of reverence. That's another piece. You know, it's important that a child learns to bless herself or himself, a sense of where the tabernacle, you know, when if you're in our chapel, you'll see the red light, or in the church when the sacrament is there. A sense of people genuflect, what are you doing? We're sensing God's presence there. And to have a sense of reverence. And out of the reverence for God, we are able to reverence one another more keenly. And so there's, and then the relationship with others. Of course, the when the child comes and it's maybe listing one thing, I might say, well, what's going on with the relationship with your mom and dad? Obedience. And respect for one's parents, respect for one's siblings, and also self-respect. Helping the child recognize that she or he is beloved and worthy of respect and dignity. The relationship with others also involves care and respect. Often we hear the fights with the siblings and the classmates, or hurts or wounds, and how to resolve that. How do they say, I'm sorry? It's so crucial, so easy, but so true. And there you are the representatives of that, you as parents. Pope Francis when he would give homilies to a newly married couple, and really throughout their life, he would say, remember three dimensions. Ask permission. May I? So you can teach your children. Say thank you. Thank you, that sense of gratitude and the sense of forgiveness. Permission, forgiveness, gratitude. And with one another as parents, children are going to be watching you for that. And doing so, you're teaching them the power sense. And that's, you know, if we're not living that in our ordinary lives, the sacrament of reconciliation is isolated. Now, the reconciliation, the conversion, the change, the development is meant to be integrated with our ordinary lives, and particularly in your lives. And then the responsibilities, sense versus selfishness. Now, often what I would say, there may be lying, or I said, what are you afraid of? Often when they lie or cheat, you get onto what are they afraid of. Then there's a sense of honesty. Oh, I was afraid because I felt pressure or I might get yelled at. You know, if a child does his or her best, you know, that's to be encouraged. If she or he doesn't do well, we all fail. What are we learning? There's a psychological concept called optimal frustration. An optimal frustration, a great image, you as parents, remember when your child learned to walk. He or she fell down. Fine. You're there. Come on, you can do it. And the child gets up again. Well, that's a great image where we fall down. But what do we learn as the child learned to walk and fell? Well, we're all learning. When we feel frustrated, it can be an optimal one when we're able to say, what have I learned? I mean, sometimes I need to converse with someone where it might be a hurt or a real sense of failure. How can that be turned into growth in a formative way? And then often that selfishness, there is a self-fullness where we're looking for the growth of the self versus the selfishness that may be saying depriving someone else. So the next one. Now, how do we reinforce these? That's that phrase. So how do you a daily prayer, it can be an evening blessing. I know some parents at bedtime will bless the child. You know, you don't need to be a cleric to bless. The Jewish tradition is the parents bless the children. That's where it all starts. So feel free to, you know, bless or form or pray with your children. It's a way that it'll internalize it. My colleague, Catherine, she'll be giving a prayer, but some of our Ignatian prayer is really an examen. And our children here learn a variation. Basically, at 2 o'clock, almost every day in our school, they stop, and for 5 minutes, or 5 to 10 minutes, they have the examen prayer at different levels. So kindergarten might be something said, what made me sad today? What made me happy? Well, on adult level, we're a bit more sophisticated. But an examen really helps to reinforce, where am I growing? Where am I needing God's help? Regular presence at church. Conversations of concerns, both in the family, but also what's going on in the world developmentally. What can the child hear around the issues? And not just get tied into that, but a way of saying God cares. God is with us in our concerns. And then actions of generosity. Again, one of the things I ask the child is, are you helping out at home? Are you helping with the dishes? Are you cleaning? One of the great lessons, and it took me a while to learn that, is make one's bed. There's an admiral who gave a famous talk, it's on YouTube, to colleges, students, graduating, said, the most first in principle is make your bed. Why? Because you've done something. And you've accomplished something. And the rest of the day, it sets a tone. Well, in a child's own way, that those little disciplines can do a lot. Because it's disciplining a way of organizing. Well, the sacrament of reconciliation is a way of organizing our soul. Our soul life. And getting a sense in the gestures. And then when it's complemented by the Eucharist, it's a greater dynamic. So that's not to say that one needs to go to the sacrament of reconciliation before the Eucharist, before receiving it. No. The Eucharist and the Mass has built into it what happens at the very beginning. I confess to Almighty God. I am confessing. Or Lord, have mercy. So built into the sacrament of the Eucharist is a variation of the sacrament of reconciliation. The beauty of a one-on-one, it intensifies, it deepens the encounter of the sacrament, of the door to the sacred. So let me stop here now because I know there's you have questions and there's time for a meditation. But any particular questions that you may have, what I've said, or about the sacrament itself? It is, as I say, a major development for yourself in the child. I'm remembering your own. I come out of the pre-Vatican II church where you knelt down. It was very dark and mysterious, and there was a long line of kids, and you didn't want to take too long because you're always going to say, what's going on? You know, what's wrong with you? But then there was the nun who said, you better confess that sin. And they're watching over and yes. So there was more of a fear. But I remember when I went to high school, how Augustinian, I was taught by the Augustinians before the Jesuits got me. But Father Smith, I'll never forget that confession in which he was saying, what are you feeling? You know, he opened up to say, it's okay for me to talk about my feelings in confession. And it opened up a whole new way. I wasn't afraid to go. I was saying so much guilt. He was opening up a sense of gratitude. And he helped to name that. Okay. Anne-Marie, did you have anything else? Okay. Thank you.